Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. Built this city. We built this city on rock and roll.
Okay, Commissioner Hopfiger, I think you're up to discuss tiny homes.
Yes, so I wanted to put this on the agenda just to have an open conversation, find out where everybody stood, what do you like, what do you not like, what are your concerns, see if we could move forward with a tiny home ordinance of some sort that would make everyone comfortable while still preserving the integrity of our communities. So just wanted to open that up for conversation and see where everybody stood.
She's super brave. And I seriously, you know, Ashley Hoffberger, Commissioner District 4, I just hoping to have a little conversation about tiny homes and let's find out where everybody's at. And when I saw this was on the agenda for the just discussion, no proposal, no vote on any action item, just a, you know, a water feeler tester thing or majurger, whatever. She... You know, let's just kind of see where everybody's at. I was like, oh, good luck, Ashley. Because historically, Escambia County has been completely hostile to the idea of having tiny homes. And, you know, just for kind of, you know, definition's sake, when we're talking about tiny homes, we're talking about very small footprint homes. We're not talking about, you know, things that are on trailers. Okay, we're talking about things that are in the, you know, 400, 500 square foot. I mean, technically, the appendix Q that's going to come from this conversation is a Florida document that has to do with the building code related to tiny homes, 400 square foot or less, ceiling heights of 6'8" in the living spaces and hallways, 6'4" in bathrooms and kitchens, and, you know, addressing things like emergency egress and stairs. Yes, there are stairs in tiny homes a lot of times, and, you know, so, I mean, they're very small, okay? If you want to think about, they're like studio, a little smaller even than a lot of studios. Definitely, typically smaller than, you know, single-bedroom apartments. But, of course, you don't have to, you know, like a tiny home doesn't have to be a 400-square-foot. I mean, a tiny home could be a 600-square-foot. You know, a tiny home could be quite small compared to what most people are used to as a small house, a 1,200 to 1,400-square-foot. But they could be anything in that vicinity, and, you know, they're not allowed right now. And the question is, well, why? Okay, so Stephen Berry, Commissioner District 5.
Commissioner, I'm not sure exactly what the ordinance would be related to. Over the last 7 or 8 years, we've put 5 or 6 tiny homes in District 5. They're infill, infill situations.
I don't know why you need this. We did one a year. In District 5, what's the issue? Well, because, sir, 1 year is not going to solve any of the problems that we're trying to address.
One of the prior concerns was putting too many of them on one parcel. So if we could maybe consider adopting Appendix Q and allowing those to go into medium, high density, and then commercial areas, I didn't know if that would be an option the board would be open to. Obviously, we would have to put this back on Horace's department to bring us something to approve, but I wanted to provide some direction today if we could get a consensus on that.
Okay, it's a little insider baseball, but Horace, who is the development director, is essentially Lumen May's, like, total dude. You know, like, there's not going to be daylight between Horace and Lumen. And Lumen has been historically very hostile toward tiny homes for reasons that, honestly, I've listened to him talk about it, and I just don't understand, but we're going to talk about it this morning. And so to say, well, yeah, I don't know, we just, you know, Horace can figure this out. he's against, you know, because Lumen is against. So anyway, but what they're saying is, what about in not like your single-family detached neighborhood typically, but where you have higher density, where you have apartments, where you have duplexes and townhomes, and even in commercial areas, you know, places where you're not talking about putting something that's really out of place. You wouldn't put a mobile home in a normal subdivision. You wouldn't put a tiny home in a normal subdivision. At least that's kind of what she's saying historically has been the concern. Mike Kohler, Commissioner District 2 and the chairman of the board right now.
I struggle with this, and I'm going to tell you why. And I'm just going to put out there, because none of us are going to want a tiny home where we live. Let's be honest. President Lincoln once said, I don't want to be a slave, so I ain't going to be a slave owner.
What?
If I'm not going to put a tiny house in
my... Wait. So, now, look, I love analogies. I'm a big believer and user of analogies. I mean, I taught logic. I taught ethics. I'm a philosopher at heart. We love analogies. But I'm not sure that jumping from the question of permitting tiny homes to the question of, you know, owning slaves is the most ready-to-mind analogy. But I do get he's saying, if I wouldn't want one next to me, then I wouldn't want to allow one next to somebody else. It's just that certain topics are a little bit more ear-catching for their incendiary nature. You know, you don't bring up the Germans of the mid-1930s and 40s. You know, you don't bring up slavery in the context of tiny homes. But, I know where his heart's at. It's just, you know, and again, I use some pretty wild metaphors sometimes. So even during our conversation about immigration yesterday, I'm sure I used metaphors that not everybody would have chosen, but that's okay. Anyway, so back to Mike Kohler. I don't want him next to me, so I don't want him anywhere.
If I'm not going to put a tiny house in my yard, I'm not going to force it on poor communities where their equity is going to be less.
I would put one in my yard.
You would?
Absolutely. My mother-in-law lives 8 houses down. My grandfather or father-in-law is getting old.
Maybe you can kick it off for us. But I'll be there for the ribbon cutting. But
absolutely.
And see, I know where Ashley's coming from. She's like, I don't know what the problem is. Why are y'all, you know, such small house bigots? which is kind of what they're saying is we just don't want. And she, you know, nobody wants one next to them. And she's like, I want one next to me. It's fine. I'll put one in the backyard for the mom, mother-in-law, whatever. It's fine. And I was thinking, and this is a question you have to think about is, would you want one in your neighborhood? You know, I live in a neighborhood that's got a couple of undeveloped lots. And one of the reasons that the undeveloped lots, they're actually being developed now. Somebody figured out a way to use them. But, you know, one of the reasons there's these undeveloped lots is because there's a ravine behind them. And the footprint is, for a normal home, is like, it's very challenging to find a way to put it in there. And so the HOA hasn't approved a lot of prior applicants because it didn't work. Well, they're building regular size homes now, but if they had built tiny homes on those lots, I'd be like, perfect. You can't use it for anything else. Would you rather have blank space that nobody can use? Or would you rather have a couple few, and this is a regular old, you know, single family detached subdivision. I would have no problem having tiny homes in there. It's not like it's, what, criminal housing? You know, it's not homeless housing. It's just less expensive housing. You know, somebody can't afford $400,000, so they build a home for $100,000 or $50,000. But it's to code. They're strong. They look nice. They're just wee. That's all there is to it. They're just small. And if somebody wants to live there, it's better than living in a tent. It's better than living in an apartment. It's better than living in a mobile home. I'll be with you. I don't really understand the NIMBYism on this. But they were very outspoken about that they don't like the idea of depressing people's property values by putting these things in next to them. And again, what I think is, I don't care. What's the issue? Housing is, it's not like if you put a couple of tiny homes in a subdivision that all of a sudden all the property values are going to crater. I don't see it.
I'm for affordable housing, but I'm very nervous about this. If you look at what you say here, I'm 6'2". The ceiling height, 6'4", for a bathroom. What we're doing here. I don't know if tall people could actually live in
these
things.
I'm only 5'3". I could reach everything.
Yeah, but it's discriminative against tall people. They won't be able to live in these houses. I'm tall. So I have a problem with that. You know, I mean, that's what the Appendix Q says.
First of all, it's 6'8", not 6'4", but in the bathroom, 6'4". Does every house have to fit Mike Kohler for it to be a good house? I mean, there are shorter people in the world. You know, there's a lot of homes I wouldn't want to live in. It doesn't mean I prevent them from getting built. It's a weird argument. Their houses are not tall enough for everybody. It's height discrimination. But, dude, yeah, I like Mike Kohler, but I don't understand the argument. Now, he says, I'm worried about getting, like, if you put it in a commercial district, then all of a sudden these tiny homes are going to infest these commercial neighborhoods.
And so the other problem I have is when you look at this, is conditional use, and then you want to put it in commercial. I don't know. I don't think I want to make Cordova Mall a tiny home farm.
Like, I just don't know the picture these folks have in their heads. And it's going to be all the commissioners are on the same exact page except for Ashley Hoffberger. And it was actually kind of nice that they were all so open about it. But you think that now we're going to get, like, the back lot behind Dillard's is going to get 100 tiny homes? And by the way, and what if it did? No, seriously, what if it did? What if we had 100 new tiny homes all clustered in Tiny Homeville on the east side where there's the woods behind, like, Dick's and Belk and Dillard's, even if it was at Cordova? Like, if Cordova thought that, gosh, all of that useless asphalt that is never full for anything except for, I mean, when we used to be Making Strides, it would sort of, but not even there, they didn't get full. I mean, it's useless now. I don't know, put up a couple hundred tiny homes. Who cares? It's housing. It's good housing. It's small. That's it. If you like condos, those are, you know, bigger but smaller clustered. I just find the whole objection kind of baffling, especially, and this is, look, I'm a conservative. What are some of the core principles of conservatives? You know, we believe in family. We believe in the rule of law. We believe in tradition. We believe in small government, low taxation, and, you know, property rights. That people generally can do what they want with their property. And if somebody owns a piece of property and they can fit one big home or four tiny homes on it, why do I care? Now, I'm sympathetic in this regard. I know a lot of people are kind of nervous about the tiny home thing. Okay, so create a special zoning if you want. And by the way, this did come up. To their credit, several of the commissioners were saying that, well, you know, look, if a tiny home village, you know, for like Smurfs Plus or something, if it were instead of a dilapidated mobile home park, that seems like an improvement. And that's true. It would be an improvement. And if you're going to allow a mobile home park, wouldn't you also want to allow a tiny home park? You know, because a mobile home is, what, you know, 700 to 1,000, or double wides are going to be much bigger. But, you know, I owned a mobile home at one point in my life. It was 1,000 square feet. It's 980 square feet. You know, I thought it was a palace. So for a lot of people, having a detached, maybe not a 400 foot, but what about a 600 foot? You know, like, you can't really argue there that it's bad, because compared to a mobile home park, a tiny home village would be great. And if somebody thinks that they can profit off of their land by building something like that, provide some housing that's in a completely different price category, and people can then own something that will then, you know, appreciate over time, because mobile homes sure don't appreciate. At best, they hold their value, but usually they decay, right, because they're not built to last forever. But a tiny home is going to be built to last. So, and again, that did come up, okay? They talked about that a little bit. So I just thought it was, first of all, it was brave of Ashley to bring this up. And that she kept sticking to her guns the whole time, just kind of asking for questions. I'll tell you, the end result of all this is she got a lot of really good ammunition. Because, and I don't mean like to use against them, but they gave her, well, not this, but I don't know, maybe that. And if you put all the, I don't know, maybe that's together, you got a lot of wiggle room for maybe doing something. And I think now where it really landed was they all were fine with her bringing forward a project in her area, right, in District 4. But there already are some. And that's probably going to be your next step. But if you can do it well, and then get a little bit broader incentive or availability or permission, really, from some kind of a zoning category, and you don't run the risk of scaring off all the big house people and frightening them about what you're going to plant next to their homes, I see this going somewhere. But it was a 4-1 opposed to this, not on a vote, but just in a general consensus. So anyway, I'd be curious, 437-1620, would you care? Would you object to a small home, tiny home being built on in your neighborhood next to your house? Would you object to that? 437-1620. I'm just curious. I asked my wife and she's like, no, I think they're fine. And we live, like I said, in a nice neighborhood. So, you know, I'm kind of that way. It seems like housing. It seems like property rights. It's not a mobile home. It's on a concrete slab. And, you know, even if it doesn't quite accommodate every basketball player in the known world, it seems like a good thing to me. 525 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, this is Jeff Wayne, General Sales Manager of ADX Communications. Our team of expert marketing consultants are backed by over 200 years of combined experience.
We've helped hundreds of local businesses increase their market share.
With four powerful radio stations, we can create a customized marketing plan tailored to your needs.
And if digital advertising is part of your strategy, we've got you covered. ADX Digital offers cutting-edge solutions and exclusive products and strategies to give your business an edge.
Let's make this a year of success for your business, whether it's on the market leader Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, the area's top news talk station,
the go-to for sports fans, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, or Pensacola Playlist 94.5. For reaching women and lifestyle audiences.
Or ADX Digital, targeted digital strategies that drive results. One call, one team, endless possibilities. Call today to get started. Call Jeff Wayne at 850-262-6000.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Severe from Vicks.
Sinex Severe nasal spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Severe instantly relieves nasal congestion and works 6 times faster than nasal decongestant tablets. The 12 hours of relief allow you to get back to the moments that matter without congestion.
Daddy, we need more balloons.
On it.
Try Sinex Severe from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
There's nothing like when you get that part from eBay and it just fits. Yeah, the first time. So you can do less of this and get right back to more of this. At eBay, you'll find all the parts you need, guaranteed to fit, at prices you'll love. Sounds good, doesn't it? eBay. Things people love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Someone stole my car. There was an earthquake, a terrible flood, locust. It wasn't my fault, I swear to God.
Good morning, 5:28 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Skippity skip up the road. It was one of my first albums I ever owned. Was
that you actually purchased?
Yeah, like when you actually own the vinyl, you know, you didn't inherit the 8-track from your parents kind of thing.
Exactly.
Business as usual by Men at Work. All right, 5:28 on News Radio. Although, now that I think about it, I wonder if that was off the second album. And it doesn't matter. Men at Work from Down Under. You know, they sing about...
The land down under.
Right. Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has got a great selection of good quality used cars. And, you know, they're always selling good quality used cars, right? Cars that are a year, 2, 3 years old, a couple of thousand miles on them. You know, you're going to be the second owner. And they sell about half their inventory. So about 300 cars they have, they sell about half every month, which means that they have to replenish those. I don't know why I can't talk this morning. But that means that if you have a car to sell that is in that category, you know, a couple of years young, low miles, great condition, bring it over to them. It takes about 15 minutes, and they'll make you an offer. And if you think you can get just a little bit better, but you don't want to go through all the trouble of Facebook Marketplace or whatever people do to sell cars, then consignment sell it through them, and that'll get you a little bit higher price, but you may have to wait a little bit longer because obviously, you know, they didn't just buy it straight out from you. Either way, no commission on that, no fee for that. That's just something that they offer because they need good inventory. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. The most surprising news first. The government shutdown is still ongoing. They did not vote
lost
to
another
end
bet.
It. Yeah, I figured. The 12th time they've attempted to hold a vote to end the shutdown yesterday, the Senate fell short there. They did have 3 Democrats, though, that joined Republicans in support of ending the shutdown. A bit of a change of plans in the construction of the new ballroom at the White House. Apparently now the entire East Wing is being demolished. Initial reports were that a portion of it was being demolished, but now the entire structure is being torn down. President Trump said that the new 90,000 square foot ballroom construction is now ongoing. And
you know, what's funny about this is people admit that the old room was not big enough, that this has actually been a need for a long time. They just don't, and you know, the White House undergoes renovations and they just don't like that Trump is doing it. Because how dare he? Well, I mean, well, is it needed? Is it good? Will it be beautiful? Then shh.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Early voting for New York City mayor begins Saturday. The final debate last night, the front runner in the polls, Democrat socialist Zohran Mamdani, trading jabs with his opponents.
Mamdani, who has tried to back away from controversial comments about the police, also said he plans to keep Jessica Tisch as New York police commissioner if he wins. And both former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, running as an independent, and Republican Curtis Sliwa took shots at Mamdani over his lack of experience.
Fox's Doug Luzader, Vice President J.D. Vance is in Tel Aviv meeting with military leaders about the fragile ceasefire with Hamas. And a warm welcome at the Vatican. King Charles joining Pope Leo. It's the first time a British monarch and a pope have prayed together since before 1534. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got a beautiful morning. It is 52 degrees with clear skies in Pensacola. Construction on Hollis T. Williams Park and the Long Hollow Stormwater Pond Project will begin in early 2026. City leaders presented their latest plans at a public meeting earlier this week. Those plans include several miles of walking and biking paths, thousands of new trees being planted, about 10 acres of plant beds, and some multi-purpose recreation fields. The park will also help with flooding issues as the stormwater capacity will be increased, and it will reconnect the neighborhood, which had previously been split when I-110 was run through the area. Based on the current plans, it will be the largest park in Pensacola. Once it's complete, the first phase of that project is being funded with an $18.5 million state grant. News Radio 92.3 does broadcast on a tower that will be affected as part of the project, but we plan on moving to a new a nearby tower location in the next year. If the federal government shutdown continues into November, SNAP benefits for low-income seniors and families may not go out as scheduled. Some food banks could help bridge the gap, but they're already feeling the impact as the shutdown has cut off access to the USDA surplus.
Food banks like Whole Villages, food banks like you know, the various pantries, et cetera, across Pinellas County, they're going to have less of that, you know, that dairy product, the milk, the eggs and the cheese, et cetera.
State Senator Nick DeSegli, he also runs a nonprofit Hope Villages of America, which runs a food bank and supplies several food pantries. He says they're going to have to turn to supermarkets and fundraising if the shutdown continues dragging on. Well, good news if you're a Progressive auto insurance customer. Your check is in the mail. That from Governor Ron DeSantis. He said the company's profits reached over $2 billion. State regulations are now forcing them to return some of their profits to policyholders.
You've been with Progressive this whole time. You're going to get a bigger rebate, and it might be a check. It might be a credit on your bill. But the average across Florida policyholders is going to be a $300 rebate.
And that money goes to customers who've been with the company as of December 31st. Other major auto insurance companies are expected to follow suit. Senator Rick Scott wants to stop Chinese students from studying in America. He sent a letter yesterday to President Trump asking the president to immediately suspend new visa approvals for students from China. Scott says the country has a track record of stealing American intellectual property and research at universities. Senator Scott estimates that there are 300,000 Chinese national students currently enrolled in American universities. It is 5:34, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We will have a beautiful day today, starting off on the chilly side in the 50s, warming up near 79 degrees for your high, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 55. For Friday, mostly sunny skies, high near 81. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 62. Going into Saturday, a bit more cloudy with a high near 79 degrees, and by Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 66. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
It's 52 and clear skies right now. Your next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Looking for a stylish way to promote your brand or celebrate a special occasion? Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze now offers custom hats, a new addition to their lineup of custom and promotional items. From corporate logos to personalized designs, these hats are perfect for businesses, events, team gear, or one-of-a-kind gifts. Prim and Proper is still your go-to for custom engraving and unique gifts. From personalized drinkware to engraved home decor, every item is crafted with care by their in-house experts. Visit primandproper.com for more.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Levin Rinke Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News, and Mayor D.C. Reeves is on the line with me as we talk to him typically every Wednesday. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thanks so much for having me, Andrew.
Oh, it's always great to have you. Let's start with, I don't know if it's fun or it's interesting, whatever. You were in Washington, D.C. For a couple of days, and you got to meet with some of the senior staff from the White House or, sort of second or third levels in departments and stuff. And you mentioned that one of the folks that you got to meet with, that you were talking with them about the executive order that President Trump has issued on homelessness, and you want to talk with the Homelessness Reduction Task Force and so forth. What does that mean for us? What did you bring back?
Yeah, it was certainly a great opportunity with about 30 other mayors around the country, and certainly appreciate the Trump administration and the Intergovernmental Affairs Office for helping set that up and what should be first of many to come. And ultimately, it was a kind of a direct line to President Trump's thoughts in these specific departments and how they impact cities. So again, deputy secretaries from HUD, from the Small Business Administration, USDOT, ICE, and then in the case of the homelessness executive order that came out this summer, was his domestic policy team. And there's just a lot of interesting things that it's one thing to read an executive order, it's another to hear the why. I think that goes for my job and everybody else's job. And what the priorities are going to be. And so on the plus side, certainly this administration wants to put money towards this, that there's been some concerted efforts of trying to reduce the amount of the unhoused population, and they're going to do that with dollars. And the thing that really seemed to be the linchpin and something we'll be discussing with all of our amazing homeless reduction groups here is – there's going to be a specific focus in any treatment, any nonprofits, any of these organizations, NGOs that are going to be getting federal funding to reduce homelessness. There's going to be mandatory mental health or addiction treatment. In other words, and I'm not saying that that's an issue here, but in bigger cities, what was happening is there were organizations getting tons of money, and maybe it would be a low barrier shelter, and the treatment aspect of the low barrier shelter would be optional. And what they said was, one, we didn't have any way to track if the dollars were being used efficiently vis-a-vis successfully, like getting people off the street. There was no tracking method. And then second was, this administration's not interested in the idea of funding for this amount of money organizations that may allow that type of treatment to give that person truly the hand up that we talk about. And that it's optional, and that it just really become a rotating, cyclical issue where someone comes in, gets a bed for a week, goes back out on the street, comes back in, et cetera. Yeah. So that they're going to have a hyper focus within that EO that he put out in July on making sure that the dollars are going. And they said, listen, it might be to fewer groups. It may not be to 35 groups. It might be to 5 or 7 groups, and giving them more dollars to attack these issues. And so, we'll continue to have that conversation with them. They're looking for cities and sites like ours, small and mid-market communities where they can be successful. And so that was certainly good news to hear as well.
Okay. And I thought I heard you say, I just want to sum up to make sure that I did hear you say it accurately, that they are so goal-oriented on getting a truly good outcome that saying no to some groups in order to get better outcomes for the ones that they are actually willing to help, even if it costs more per person or something like that, it's better than scattering the money around and not really getting the outcome. That's the general gist, right?
Right. With the fundamental anchor that you must be giving mandatory addiction or mental health treatment. You can't be using funds for just the bed and not requiring those folks using the bed to be participating in those if they need them.
Which is perfectly, in my mind, perfectly fine for people to do through their own charity, but if the government's going to do it, they're going to do it a certain way, and that makes sense to me. The Palafox, reimagining Palafox, that's been obviously the big discussion because, I know, a lot of people are concerned about what this is going to mean if we close down Palafox for a significant period of time in order to, resurface and redesign it. But you gave a lot of good information yesterday, especially trying to give perspective on the issue of, well, if we're spending all this money, it means we have all this money to spend. Why don't we do something else?
Yeah, right. Again, I think that's my number one explanatory diatribe this day and age with any project that's happening in the city. And this is a perfect example. As I explained to the media yesterday, not $1 of the $10.3 million proposed, not one, can be spent. It either needs to be spent, in the urban core CRA geographically, which is just you're kind of generally the downtown area. It cannot be, not a dime of that money could be spent anywhere else. And all of the other funding is either from FPL, which is their $3 million obligation. If you go to Palafox right now, there's all those utility cuts in the road. They owed us money to finish their project, which we had them pause, and they just gave us the check. So that money can go to nothing else other than Palafox. And lastly, is complete streets money. So those are the only three buckets of money that are coming for the $10.3 million. In other words, if you had a preference to do Alkene Street instead of Palafox Street, and that is your argument to say that's why we shouldn't do it, then that would be legitimate. Saying why we don't do something else in some part of the city would be illegal based
like
on
Bay Bluffs Park
on the funding
or something,
and
right?
The funding plan. Correct. And so that is the biggest misnomer in my job, is that someone reads a headline that says a project costs X amount. And that means, why aren't you, Mayor, why is that a priority? Why aren't you doing this? Well, because that would be illegal to do whatever you propose, because those dollars aren't allowed to be spent on those things. So Andrew, I talked about it at the Hollis T. Williams meeting last night. They were talking about additional funding for phases. And they said, well, what does that mean for tax dollars? And what I explained was, there's $22 million of property tax that goes into our general fund that doesn't go to CRA, and there's $48 million of expense for just police and fire. So if you're concerned about property tax going to Palafox or going to Bay Bluffs, rest assured there isn't general fund property tax revenue going to those projects, because we can't even cover half of our law enforcement expense with our general fund revenue. So we always have to be looking for grants or be using CRA dollars, et cetera, to be able to fund capital projects like this. And if you go around the city, whether it be American Magic, Fricker Center, Hollis T. Williams, Palafox Street, this is all of that work that we put in a couple of years ago that in many of these, not in Palafox, but in the others, where we were getting $100+ million of grant money. This is the fruits of that labor that we're talking about in these huge transformational projects. It is not property tax or money that can be conveyed to whatever project someone in their head prioritize.
I just don't think that it's fair of you to try to explain how government actually works when people want to believe it works how they want it to work. I mean, it's just it's completely irrational of you, Mr. Mayor. We're talking to D.C. Reeves, Mayor of Pensacola. What's ahead?
It's a losing battle.
Yeah, well, yeah, but the job is the job. You know, sometimes it's do, sometimes it's educate. And I jest, but it is true. I mean, you know, people don't know. And if they don't know, they don't know. And that's all you can do with it and try to educate them. That's just the way it works. One of the obviously big story, ongoing story, is dealing with the Baptist property. And as I understand the situation is you've got a handful of properties that you're not quite sure what to do with. The county has expressed an interest in two of them. And you have basically said, well, I don't want to wait 5 years to get something done. I'm interested in seeing if somebody else is interested in those properties. Let's list them. And while we list them, let's be open to conversations with the county about how they can use them. And let's just kind of see what happens so we know where we stand. We can always say no to anything. Is that the idea?
Yep. Yeah. Perfectly described. You know, there was conversation of, well, what about putting signs in the yard? And let me make a clear delineation. There is no property going on the market for the main campus that we've been talking about for 2 years, right. The 38 acres. All we're talking about is the additional property that was conveyed from Baptist to the city in the last few months. And so we're talking about three smaller properties on the periphery of Baptist. But yes, you described it exactly correct. Let's see what the market bears. We were left with a $1.5 million delta. We were expecting to get funding from the county. We did not. And so the whole spirit of Baptist, again, us and having a good partnership saying, hey, we're both staring at a $2 million delta here. How do we want to handle this? That was kind of the way we decided to handle it. And I appreciate Baptist for stepping up and saying, hey, well, here's some additional property that could help cover some of that gap. So that is the whole genesis of why we even have these properties to begin with. And yes, you were correct. We've been in conversations with the county. And listen, it's not whether we have to have something built there in 5 years. The conversation was $510,000 for a building that was assessed for $900,000 by the property appraiser.
Right.
If we're going to be fellow partners with Escambia County on something like a community center, I'm all for that. But the whole discussion the entire time has been to do it quickly, not to do it in 5 years. And so if we're going to help subsidize a community center by selling it at a discount, then we would want to see action happen faster. And I know Commissioner May, I know Commissioner Kohler, we've talked to them both directly about this. I know that they both understand where we're coming from, that this shouldn't be, you know, a surprise, nor I think they do understand that we all want to get something done a little faster than that. So, but still open to conversations with the county, and actually have another meeting with a healthcare provider today to see if there's, you know, whether it be a donation. So we're open to donating property. We're open to selling it at a discount. We're open to selling it at market rate. We've got a $1.5 million delta, and we want to do good things in the community. And we'll find that right mix of the way to handle all of that.
Yeah, in particular, I mean, it doesn't have to be through the county that you do a healthcare facility or that something like that happens. That's what I liked about what you were saying yesterday. Hey, just a quick thing, and I know this is a completely sideways suggestion, but I'm gonna pass it along because it was offered to me by a listener, and I'll just give you a chance to comment. So 38 acres of green space is coming when the demolition is done, right? Roughly, that's what we're going to have?
That's right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How many acres does it take to build that soccer complex you've been talking about?
I have heard this theory before, and way less than that.
Convention center.
But I can tell you as we are looking around before any rumors begin, as we're looking around for a downtown soccer complex, this is the Baptist parcel at this point is not in that consideration.
Okay.
Not because it doesn't have the acreage, but because of, you know, what we've told our community, certainly, that we want to be housed anchored with residential education. And all of that. But what I also know is people ask, well, when they knock the building down, what's going to be left? Part of the obligation of the demolition is to go back and resod and do all these other things. It is just going to be the broken foundations of a building that once was. There's some obligations. So at least in the meantime, you would be looking at a big green space. So at least, Andrew, you can go play soccer there.
You're not going to do like the county did and put a fence up around OLF 8 and make it so nobody can use it? You're going to leave it open?
Not, Not that I'm aware of. So,
wow.
But
I like
but
it.
Hey, listen,
I'm in.
We'll find out. You know, I'm going to let experts tell me who is and is not allowed to be on what when.
Speaking of that, if you time it right, maybe if OLFA gets cut up and worked on, maybe you can just take grass from there and put it down at Baptist. You know, maybe the timing will work. I think you'll probably need the grass before they're willing to get rid of it. Anyway.
You are watching out for people's tax dollars all the time.
I'm always trying to solve all these problems, right? I'm trying to get these government agencies to cooperate with each other. I did figure that was going to be your answer, and I wanted to make sure people knew that was the answer, that no, that's not the intent at this point for sure. All right, we always like to end to put the soccer complex there. We always like to end with a bit of a lightning round for you. The first question for you is, recently it was Global Hand Washing Day. When you wash your hands, Mr. Mayor, hot water, cold water, mixture, soap, but more importantly, how long?
It's whichever handle I hit, it's usually, I'm not a stickler about blazing hot water.
All right.
Ever since COVID, I do have now a much better human counter in my hand. So, the actual seconds depends on how long I've got, before whatever meeting I'm in, but I mean, I give it at least a good 10.
Oh, okay. So fairly long. Okay. You know, fairly devoted. I got you. I mean, you're not scrubbing up for surgery, but you're not just passing it under the water and saying you did it.
Correct.
Okay. Sounds that irritate you. There's actually a disorder of sorts that has now become identified. Mesosonia phono. I forget what it is. Anyway, but is there a sound that that bothers the mayor, distracts the mayor? You cannot function when that sound is happening.
Man, you are setting me up for like a city council, button joke or something.
No. Okay, can I suggest the clanging of the bracelets on the mics in the city council meetings is I twitch. Anyway, go ahead. But you have your answer. What was your answer?
I'm too scared of Councilwoman Broughton. You're gonna have to bring that up to her yourself.
She is an imposing person. So, she's so sweet.
Anything high pitch, like a high pitch scream, I think is ultimately distracting for me. But I don't have a specific sound that I can think of.
All right. Any fear of the dark with you, whether it's in the basement that they don't have in Florida or somewhere else? And related, do you sleep with a nightlight on of any kind?
No nightlight. No darkness issues.
Okay.
I'm thankfully by 41, I've been able to, live with that.
I'll take your shade. That's fine.
Phase, but. are you nervous?
Oh yeah, I don't like the dark.
Are you nervous in the dark?
I don't like the basement. You know, when I have one, I don't enjoy that at all.
This is why we have such incredibly lit parks around our city. You know, I don't know. I can't speak for other
to counties, serve all the citizens. That's right,
Andrew. That's why you don't have to worry about that if you come inside the city limits here in the beautiful city.
Nice wrap on that. I appreciate it, Mayor DC Rees. Look forward to the meeting tomorrow night, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week, sir. Thank you so much for the time, as always.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
I love how he said that that's why we have lighting in parks, is for people like me who are afraid of the dark a little bit. All right, cool. I'll take it. I mean, it's a win. 5:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. By the way, this Hollis T. Williams thing, I was watching the video explanation of what it is and seeing the walkthrough. I did not go to the reveal meeting the other day, but the stuff that they're going to be putting under there, if it all comes to fruition, and this is only, phase one, but it's pretty amazing. The part of it that I had not realized is, the giant long hollow stormwater pond that has always kind of been a problem because there's just so much water that drained into that. I mean, it's an enormous pond, but it's still not enough. Part of this project is actually to pump water from that pond, like an actual pump that's going to pump water from there when it gets to be too high, over into these underground storage bunkers for stormwater underneath the Hollis T. Williams project, these big acres large kinds of things. It's, you look at it and you think, wow, that is a project. So, but that's part of the solution, is when the water comes in fast, you got to put it somewhere, and that's a place that you can put it. 5:54 on News Radio 92.3. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty can definitely help you with that. And, one of the things that I was talking to her the other day and saying, what would be helpful for me to tell people to help them understand why it's a, you guys are beneficial? She said, well, honestly, we just do things that, get the results. And there's this whole constellation of things that they do that get the results. And, one of the things she was telling me is it's been very common for people to, and this wasn't true a couple of years ago. A couple of years ago, you could basically sell a home with anybody. Now, you might not get the price you want, but you could basically, you know, everybody could sell a home. Now, with the market being what it is, she says it's really common for people to get a realtor and for nothing to happen. You know, that they did no offers, no deals, nothing. She said they've had several homes recently where they had not just one prior realtor, but multiple prior realtors, even as many as five, could not sell the home. And they brought them to Christina, and she's like, here, we can do this, and they sell the home. You know, like, which is crazy, but again, that's the expertise and the experience and the perspective and the problem-solving skills that she and her team at Love and Rinky Realty bring. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Daniel will not stop crying. I've changed him, fed him, walked him around, and he's still crying. Now I'm panicking. What should I do?
It's okay. We're glad you called. We learned during the Period of Purple Crying program that babies tend to cry a lot in the first few months of life.
If nothing is working and you need a break, put the baby in a safe place and take a few minutes to walk away and calm down.
During the Period of Purple Crying, it is crucial to stay calm and never shake a baby. To learn more, visit PreventChildAbuseFL.org.
This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the State of Florida, Department of Health, and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Man, he's just like Trippendicular, you know?
My second greatest Never Saw Him in Concert regret, Living Color. Van Halen's number one, but Living Color is a whole story. 558. There's a whole saga. Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And it was rated, MTV or whatever, Rolling Stone. Somebody said it was the best concert that year. Anyway, David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. The U.S. national debt is now above $38 trillion for the first time and growing. According to the Treasury Department, the debt reached $37 trillion only 2 months ago.
Is that more or less than 37 Sicilian dollars? Go on.
Your
dad joke callback. Yeah,
there,
that's right.
There it is. Day 23 now of the government shutdown. The Senate fell short for a 12th attempt yesterday at ending the shutdown, although three Democrats did join Republicans in support of a resolution. Also, Secretary of State Marco Rubio is arriving in Israel today after criticizing the country's plan to annex the West Bank. He warns that move could threaten the U.S.-backed ceasefire between Israel and Hamas.
All right, very good. The plan for Navy Boulevard, very interesting. We'll talk about that coming up next.
Stream us at...